the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today in the Orthodox Church, we hear the well-known parable of the sower. We hear of how the sower sows his field, and how the seed falls on various types of foundations, and how these foundations affect the way in which the seeds grow. And like many of Christ's parables, Jesus gives an explanation for it, which, among other things, makes preaching on it a little more difficult, since the answer is right there in the text, right? Nevertheless, this is one of the most important parables that Christ gives. And some of the ideas within the parable itself can take a lifetime to truly understand. One of these simple ideas that can bear constant repeating regards what this parable is actually about. You see, the parable is not first and foremost about the sower or the seeds being sown. Those details are rather straightforward. Instead, the parable is about the soil. The parable is about where the seeds land. We already know about the sower and the seed, right? The sower is God himself, and the seed is the word of God. It's not simply the abstract idea of, you know, God's word, but it's actually God's son. It's Christ. And our hearts are the soil. And this simple idea is tantamount to understanding our lives in Christ and the spiritual life. You know, we can often get ahead of ourselves in our spiritual lives. Hearing so often about the amazing feats and accomplishments of the saints, we often can construct in our minds an image of what we should be like in Christ. You know, we hear about St. Mary of Egypt and how she lived in the desert for so many years and repentance, and think that if only we could emulate that repentance in some small way, we could be like her. Or we hear about the early martyrs of the church, like St. Demetrius or St. Ignatius or St. Thecla, and think that if only we were given that opportunity, that we could stand up to the tyrants of this world and die a heroic death like they did. And to some degree, this is a very good thing to want, right? We are called to emulate the saints, because they, in various ways, perfectly emulate Christ. But we cannot get too far ahead of ourselves either. We have to see what foundation we are going to receive God's word on. We have to see what foundation we would like to build our Christian lives on. And this requires some introspection. We have to look into ourselves. What is the condition of our hearts, of our innermost selves? Is it soft and open to receiving Christ? Or is it hard, and as soon as God's word comes in, do we reject it? Or are we so hard-hearted that we don't even notice God's word when it comes to us, and it is immediately trampled by the cares of this life? And here's a very important idea. The seed, when it is thrown onto the ground of our hearts, will not force its way in, right? It won't attempt to burrow into our hard, calloused hearts. It simply won't. It will even allow itself to be devoured by the birds and trampled, as today's parable says. But it won't force its way in. But also know this, especially if you feel like you have a hard heart. The sower will not stop sowing. The word of God will come again and again and again. Christ will come and knock at our hearts, even if the door is locked. And even if he knows that the door is locked, he will knock and he will wait. He will even allow himself to be trampled underfoot, if only it means that it will provide him an opportunity to sow himself in our hearts again. And this shouldn't scandalize us, right? Christ was crucified at the hands of his creation. He isn't proud enough to grow tired of this ministry which he performs. He's okay with being trampled underfoot. He's content to simply continue knocking. Look at all of biblical history. It's a constant movement of God towards man, of God knocking, of God sowing the seeds of his word in our hearts. In Eden, God came and dwelt with his creation. In the desert, Yahweh led his people, who griped and murmured almost constantly, into the promised land. God was present in the temple of Solomon, which Solomon built for God. And God even said that if Israel walked in God's ways, that he would dwell everlastingly in this temple. He was willing and able to make it a second paradise, a place where God and humanity could dwell together. And yet man turned towards idols once more. It's the same with our hearts in Christ. It's a constant process. The sower sows. And all that we have to do initially is prepare our hearts. The rest is God working from within us and with us and for us. This is the beginning of our lives in Christ. This has to be our foundation. It's not intellectual, it's not aesthetic, it's deeply personal because it involves another person. It involves Christ. And I know that this can be hard. Some people feel God's presence more than others, right? Some go long periods of time without even noticing Him at all, not hearing Him at all. But this is normal. This is a part of our lives in Christ. Just read the Psalms, for example, right? About a third of the Psalms are David lamenting about not feeling God's presence. Just go back through and read them. But regardless, we can prepare the soil of our hearts for God. And unbeknownst to ourselves, even when we are doing this work of preparing our heart for God to dwell within us, God is there. We speak of the Holy Spirit in this way, right? We say that He's invisibly present and filling all things. But it doesn't mean that He reigns in our hearts yet. Doesn't mean that the seeds that Christ sows constantly will ever come to fruition. They can only bear fruit when the soil is soft, when our hearts are prepared with foundation that can bear the truth that is Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean that we have to be weak or doormats, right? Soft soil doesn't mean being a pushover necessarily. It means being receptive to the truth that is Christ, following Him wherever we find Him. And we can see this in many of the early converts to Christianity. St. Paul was receptive to Christ. In some way, his soil was receptive to the truth, right? Even though he was actively hunting down Christians when he was converted. Judas, on the other hand, Judas, despite being constantly in the presence of Christ, had hard soil. Christ was at his door, knocking. The seed of the word, the seed of truth, was on the soil of Judas's heart. But through his avarice, through his greed, his heart became hard. His soil became like a desert. It became inhospitable. Judas's soil only brought forth thorns, and these thorns choked out any semblance of truth within him. This doesn't mean that Judas didn't have any free will, right? But it does mean that, you know, habituated sin, whether it be greed or lust or anger or envy, can mold our perception of reality. It can completely blind ourselves to God. But this shouldn't cause us to despair. Remember, Christ sows the seed, and He sows them constantly. He knocks constantly at the doors of our heart. And it is simply repentance, turning towards God, that opens the door of our hearts. It's simply repentance that prepares the soil of our hearts. And God doesn't need a massive space to enter into our hearts either, right? Look at Mary. Look at the Theotokos. Mary, in her womb, as we say in our hymns, she contained the uncontainable. God doesn't need a big space. He just needs a space. He just needs a slight crack in our cold, hard hearts, just a minuscule one, so that His light can shine through. And we know what the fruit of such a fertile heart can be. We've already talked about St. Paul, right? But look at someone else, such as, you know, St. Olga of Kiev, who before her conversion was probably one of the most cold-blooded rulers to ever walk the earth. Read her life. Go read her life. And see what an amazing transformation took place. Not because she acted like a saint before she converted to Christianity, but because in some way her heart was softened. In some way her heart sought after truth, and she found it in the person of Jesus Christ. It's the same with us. In this moment, right now, I'm not telling you, you know, to be a saint. That's the end goal, although we should strive to be saints. But to begin our Christian lives with thinking we're saints is more likely than not to lead to hypocrisy and pride. What we have to begin with, and what I'm telling you to begin with, is a soft heart. What we have to begin with is a foundation that allows Christ to enter. No other foundation will work. And if we begin with this foundation and continue in this foundation with God's grace, our seeds will grow. And just, you know, as in nature, different seeds bear fruit in different seasons, and different seeds grow at different rates, we should expect this in our own lives. St. Sophroni says that when we see, centuries-old trees, huge trees, with its branches reaching towards the heavens, we must know that it has roots deep into the earth. It takes time for growth. It takes time for spiritual growth. And this is good. Slow growth is good growth. Patience and long-suffering in the Christian life are two of the greatest Christian virtues. Some patristic writers even note that, you know, the world being created in 6 days over a span of time, instead of God just, you know, willing everything into existence. Some patristic writers say, you know, that's no different than our lives and our spiritual lives. We grow slowly. We don't just, you know, become something that we're not overnight. We're not perfectly human. The only perfect human is Christ. St. Justin Popovich, in one of his nativity sermons in the early 1900s, noted that man is only a true man when he's completely united with God. And St. Ignatius of Antioch, almost 1,800 years before, said that in his death, you know, in the arena at the hands of lions, St. Ignatius was martyred by lions, in being martyred for his faith, he would become a human being. He would become human, because in that moment he would be united to Christ for willingly giving up his life. So we too can truly become united to God, but it begins with a heart that is receptive to Christ, with a heart that, you know, like Mary the Theotokos, can bear him within us, so that he may be born in us today and every day of our lives. May we ask God to grant that our hearts be soft and capable of bearing him. And may he sow his seed in our hearts, not only today, but all the days of our lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.